eat today, and I'm not going to eat tomorrow. Oh, now I got to do the show with this guy looking at me.
He is so hot. I haven't done this since high school, but I don't want that picture going anywhere.
Sarah has tacked up the photo of a man on the wall. Who is this? Hold on.
Some French actor.
French actor Romain Duris. Three.
Yeah, ladies, if you want to see someone really hot, Google him.
Now, let me ask you this. I don't mean to dwell on this. Just in case, we'll talk to Jim Roop here in a second. In fact, let's welcome now Jim Roop to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Los Angeles. Where everybody kind of looks like this guy. Jim Roop, how are you, sir?
I bet you I don't.
No, you and me both, friend. I was a couple weeks ago, I was there, and do you find it oppressive? Because you always hear women say this, to live in a place like L.A. where everybody's just so weirdly, aesthetically imperfect. Do you find it oppressive as a man to live in Los Angeles, in that area, because, you know, you're so close to Hollywood, and there's such an aesthetic standard to live up to? Or are you just sort of zen with it? You just sort of screw it?
Yeah, I say screw it. I mean, I got arrested. I stuck my head out the window of the car the other day, got arrested for mooning. That's how ugly I am.
Wait,
my God.
I wish you'd told me that. Wait. There you go. Thank you.
Went to a dog show. I won.
Okay, here's what you're absolutely making me do now. Hold on. Where did I...
No, that was stupid. Don't even respond to that one.
No, I was trying to find... I have all of these... I don't know where I put them. Scotty and I went through my sound files the other day because we had all of this stuff of Ed McCarthy doing his Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, he's got Rodney?
Have you ever heard Ed McCarthy do his Rodney Dangerfield?
Oh, no, I've not.
Oh, God damn it. Now, where did I put them? Oh, okay, hold on. I'm just going to be gripping radio for a second while I try to find them. Okay,
He has that sort of voice. He could do that.
I don't know where they went. Hey, Scotty, do you remember where I put them? Do you remember where I put the Ed McCarthy doing the sound of Rodney Dangerfield? Are they in a system by any chance, Sarah?
What would they be saved under?
I really don't know the answer to that, actually. Okay, if I don't find him in like 10 seconds, I'll move on because this is not tremendously entertaining for anyone.
Good old special ed.
I was just listening to them the other day. If all else fails, I know that somewhere we have a promo where he's doing it, and I'll dig it up and I'll send it to you.
Oh, very nice.
All right, I don't have it here. They're gone.
Very
nice. I might have deleted them, actually. I think I might have deleted them with the phrase, well, when am I ever going to use these again?
Oh.
All right. It's like when you throw out a little jar of nails, and then suddenly you go, where are my 10-penny nails? Anyway, he does a fantastic sort of, my doctor gave me 6 months to live. I couldn't pay the bill. He gave me another 6 months.
Oh,
ho, ho. You know, my wife only smokes after sex. You know, she's up to 3 packs a day. I got the same pack last 20 years. It was really scary how well, and then he does a fantastic Ed Sullivan, too.
Is that right?
It is true. It's kind of weird, and the weird thing is that, I mean, look, I'm no one to talk because I do a lot of stupid voices, but he apparently has spent many, many, many years working on his Rodney Dangerfield. And I mean, I guess some guys fish and some guys work on a boat in their garage. He stares into a mirror and impersonates Rodney. It's kind of cool, actually.
Hope he makes money with that.
Well, now you probably could. You know, there's a void there.
Yeah, right. That's true.
So here's the thing, is that Sarah, and this is the cover, this is a New York Times magazine, I think. New York Times Style magazine, which comes with the New York Times. And so Tim Riley, our newsman, reads the New York Times, so he always brings in all of the Sunday and the book review and all the whatever. And so there's the New York Times Style magazine, and the front cover is this. It's a black and white photo of this French actor named Romain Duris, I believe is how you pronounce this. And Sarah just went, and there's no other word for it, just went all agog over this photo the minute she saw it this morning.
I really haven't, a lot of people don't really strike me very much anymore, and he is very good looking.
And so this is... And this is actually the first time, now that you haven't done this since your Jake Gyllenhaal thing. At Entercom, you had pictures of Jake Gyllenhaal out of Entertainment Weekly that you had tacked up in your cubicle. But I think that's the only guy pinup. And when I say pinup, I mean just like a picture of a guy you've taken and hung. I think it's the only guy photo I've ever seen.
Well, you have your pinup guys behind you, and I have mine.
Yeah, I have Stephen Colbert and Ricky Gervais from The Office. And Snakes on a Plane. Because I would just be awkward. I couldn't put up a photo of a woman. It would just be weird.
I mean, you could just go into Scotty J's private collection, probably. Isn't his name with tons of those posters of girls in bikinis on, like, Ferraris?
Totally. I can completely see that, actually. I can act in his garage, and it's like a woman.
In a yellow string bikini,
yes,
like washing a red.
That's exactly what I was picturing. Get out of my head. Oh, my God, that's creepy. Or a woman with big 80s blonde hair straddling like a Suzuki motorcycle. And like looking at the camera, and it's like she's straddling some Japanese motorcycle. I bet Scotty and Dennis Pitzenberger have very similar poster collections, but they're all in the garage now because the wife has made them move the posters out to the garage. You go to Dennis Pitzenberger. Dennis Pitzenberger is a local newspaper guy here who is also our auto dude, and he'll come on to talk about cars sometimes. You go to his garage. His wife has made him move all of his posters to the garage, but they're all from about 1988, and it's all like a woman with like a bad shiny like gold bikini. Holding like a thing of castor oil, you know.
Oh,
it's
I can
like,
totally picture that.
Yeah, it's all like a chick car weird sort of kinky thing.
Hmm.
Anyway, Sarah has actually now cut off the cover to this New York Times magazine with this guy, this male actor, and she's now tacked it up on the wall. But the really weird part is it's not a wall facing her; it's a wall facing me.
I'm facing a window.
I'm just saying. So now I can do my whole show with
he's looking at you,
Romain Duris, looking at me. It's very unnerving, especially because he's
flip him off.
Well, let me ask you this, and I know nobody can see this guy here, but just Jim and I, as men, would like to know. So now, what is it about this guy? And I'll describe it. He's a guy with sort of spiky hair and stubble, maybe like a much younger, thinner George Michael, maybe sort of like that kind of a thing. What is it about this guy that's so attractive?
I don't know.
You can't quantify it?
No, I can't pinpoint it.
See, it's so easy for guys. Guys, it's...
See, that's what Mahler says about me. You know, I can't pinpoint what the hell. Why do you think you're nice looking?
But for men, it's never that hard. Men can always pinpoint exactly what it is about a girl that's hot, can't we?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem, right? Is you have to make sure you don't pinpoint it too much or out loud.
Or touch it when you pinpoint it.
Yes.
Okay, and I just found another picture of him not so good looking.
Okay, so it's really this photo,
yeah,
not
really
him.
Photo.
All right. Well, okay.
At some point, there might be a photograph made of me that actually looks decent.
Do you have...
I don't photograph well at all.
See, neither do I. That's the thing.
I never have.
And it has nothing to do with how good-looking you are. Now, I have said this before, so I'm not telling tales at a school. Do you have actual news you have to get to with somebody else? Am I keeping you from something?
That I hope so.
Okay, good. We had, and you may remember her, we had a producer on this show, a girl named Christina Carlson.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, Christina. Sweet girl, smart, very pretty. Couldn't take a photograph that looked good to save her life. It was a very beautiful girl. Every time he'd film her, photograph her, looked like a trout. Lips looked like they were all weird sized. One eye was always half shut. Forehead would look too big. And the thing is, though, but that was only in the photograph. Like, you'd look at her and be like, well, you're very attractive. You try to take, it's like how you hear the photograph sometimes will take away, you'd hear about them. You know, the tribal people would believe that a camera would take away their soul.
Yeah.
With Christina, it's like a camera took away all her hotness. It's like the camera was like a hotness extraction tool for her.
Well, it's worse for me. I have zero hotness to begin with.
See, that's what I'm saying. You and I are missing the raw clay.
I don't have it.
I have one photograph. Actually, two photographs by the same guy, same press shoot. I did one press shoot for a movie I did once, and a guy took two photographs of me that were good. And I'm gonna be like Imus. I'm gonna use those for the rest of my career. I will never, ever, ever use different press shots ever. I'm gonna have these two photos. I'm gonna be 55 years old, 85 years old. I'm gonna be Paul Harvey aged, and I will be using the same press photos because they look good.
That's what they do at CNN for us.
Now, do you have a headshot? Do you have like a press shot?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's on our website.
How old is it?
5 years.
And that's what I'm saying. Is it decent?
I don't know.
Well, see, it's never going to get any better. That's the thing.
It's just
that's what I'm saying. It's just going to get worse. So.
You know, it's funny. When my wife picks out photographs of the family, she'll go, I don't like the way I look at that one. I like the way I look at that one. Well, doesn't matter with me, I guess.
That's the thing. Well,
I look like crap no matter what photo.
See, I've just learned to embrace it.
Yeah.
And I've also learned to tilt my head up so it doesn't look like I've got a fat neck.
Oh, really? I guess I should work on that.
That's the other thing. All right. I forget what we were talking. I wanted to ask you real quickly about this. Since we've now talked about the important things.
Yeah.
Scotty is noting. Oh, of course. Of course, I could have seen this. Scotty is saying in his garage he has posters of.
Sarah Fawcett.
No. The Trailblazer Dancing Girls. Yeah. Is it autographed? Or some of the girls, have they really, like, I'm Denise. Have they done that at any point? Yeah. Good times. God, that's, okay, let me, yes, they do! Oh, my God, they're autographed to Scotty. Oh, that's horrifying. Well, screw it. I might as well just tell you this, Jim. You want to know, here's something creepy. So Scotty has the Trailblazer girls there, and I haven't seen any of the Trailblazer girls up close. I'm guessing just because this is Portland and that's L.A., they're not as good as the Laker girls.
Don't you remember when we were on Max 910? There were those posters everywhere.
But those were the fangirls, weren't they?
No, they were the Blazer girls, too.
Were they hot?
There was some crossover.
Were they hot at all? Or were they just sort of skanky?
I don't remember.
All right. All I remember is that... Now, we're getting so far afield. All right, Jim, you're just going to have to accept the fact that this segment will contain no actual news.
That's okay. You know, you've been to those trade shows, the Natty or the radio trade shows, and they always have the Playboy girl or something sign their autograph.
Totally.
I was always afraid to go up to and get an autograph, afraid to go up to the Laker girls. Man, because, you know, I'm the guy that they pity and give you an autograph, you know.
Oh. Totally.
Give the troll something.
No. That's totally, that's like...
That's, you must get a real good parking spot, sir.
occasionally, and God, where was I that I saw this happen? It was at, I'm not a guy, I don't really go to strip clubs, but I was at one sometimes, like an event or some Prince birthday parties, but I was at some strip club one time, and there was a guy there who, how should we put this, he was one of God's special children. And it was like, you know, missing an eye and like a leg and, you know, drooled a lot and just disabled in any number of ways. And of course, those guys always somehow, they just beeline right for the hottest stripper in the place. And it's like, but of course, that's the irony, right? Is the stripper is the nicest to that guy.
Yeah.
Because you sort of feel compelled to be.
But you know, no, but you've, at least I've been victim of it. I know the pity glance. I know the pity smile. The pity wink. I know that one. You know, oh, you're cute, and they pat you on the head, and they punch you on the butt, and send you off. You
and
know,
see,
like going to school. It's a terribly deflating feeling.
I actually had that done to me just two nights ago at a station event, actually. The pity sort of hug, and the sort of language, body language that seems flirtatious, sort of touching that seems flirtatious, but you know that it's not. Because
by the way, they pull out the Purell from their purse and wash their entire body.
and also just that sort of, it's like they're talking to a crippled puppy or something. You know, they're just sort of, oh, the poor creature. And it was a woman, there's a woman here, a very famous woman in Portland. Her name is Penny Trumbull, and she was the model, if you've seen the movie Almost Famous, she was the model for Penny Lane, who was played by Kate Hudson.
Sure.
Very famous rock and roll fan, very famous female fan. And she's just a legend. And this isn't, so none of this is a knock on her, because she's very beautiful, still very charming, very successful in her own career now. But it's just really a legend. I mean, it is, because she's just so famous, especially since that movie, since Almost Famous came out. And I am such a classic rock fan and such a huge fan of rock and roll that she is just an icon to guys like me. And so I finally got the chance to meet her like two nights ago at a station event we were doing. And man, I can be quasi-charming now and again. Like, I can bring a little bit of A material, so, you know, every once in a while. It was not one of those nights.
Oh.
And the guy, and my friend Barbara's like, hey, I'd like you to meet Penny Trumbull. She was the model for Penny Lane and Almost Famous. Rick, I know you've been wanting. And she's like, hey, Rick, nice to meet you. And I was like,
I've been there, baby.
And it wasn't that, like, I said anything bad as such. It's just that I was so bland and mediocre and just a whole lot of like, it's really, I like cheese, you know, and just a lot of stupid, just said nothing important. I was not funny. It was like, do you ever do this moment with a girl where like you look around for your wit and like, my wit was just here. Oh, my charm was, someone stolen my charm. It was just here a minute ago.
I left it in the bathroom.
That's how I was with her. I bombed so spectacularly with her. I bombed so badly that this guy actually brought her around a second time, like an hour later, because he knew that I felt like I'd bombed. And she's like, so it was nice to meet you. And I'm just like swinging a miss. I don't remember what I said. I just said something stupid and pointless. And then she sort of gave me like, you know, like a very familiar, very nice, warm hug. But I knew it was, you could just sense it's like the pity, like the, oh, yeah. Poor bastard. It's because when you say that a woman sort of says, you know, treats you like you're cute. There's Paul Newman cute, you know, there's Robert Redford cute, and then there's like Mr. Potato Head cute.
That's me.
Yeah, you and me both. That's his wiener dog
I'm
cute.
Don Rickles cute, man.
You know? Totally. Yes.
It's a shame, but I've learned to accept it.
You know, it's true. See, you and I, we've embraced our lot in life, my friend.
I can't change it.
All right. Well, there you go. So, there you go. That's,
I'm going to go stick my head in the oven.
So, I always like to end the week on just sort of a, kind of a vibe. So, well, this is a lot more interesting than, you know, talking about E. coli again. Seriously.
Yeah.
Just put a cork in your body. That's all you really need to know with that. All right. So if Laura Caviezel gives you the recap of what you talked about, tell her that was one of those at the bottom where it says, you know, what other stories might CNN be talking. Tell her that's one of the other stories.
Okay.
Jim and Rick's misadventures with attractive women. All right, brother. It's always a pleasure. We'll talk about something real at some point in the future.
At some point, we got to do this over a couple of beers.
Yeah, exactly. Oh wait, Scotty? Is that true? Is that in the Friday folder? What would it be called? Is it just in Friday? New? All right here? Skin bun in your hair. Skin bun. Trash can full of skin. I think that's based on you talking about a skin bun, which is those women who've had a lot of plastic surgery and they pull the... Yeah. I thought it was you. Okay. We still haven't found the McCarthy. Next time we talk, I'll have found Ed McCarthy doing Rod the Dangerfield.
I want to hear it.
All right, brother. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. You too.
CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. McRib is back.
Pizza in the kitchen.
Really?
From Rocco's.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, we should break.
Really?
Yeah.
From Rocco's?
Yeah.
We're breaking.
Okay.
We're back after this. Okay. Hello there. Well, that was an interesting... That's the kind of Jim Roop segment that will win him a... That'll win him a Sarnoff Award or whatever those are. Okay. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson Radio Show. My pizza's now in the refrigerator. Nobody touched that.
Mine's in my stomach.
It's in my belly. And it's Rocco's, too. And
you got the super huge piece. Mine's like half the size of yours.
I have no shame. See, that's the thing. I don't have...
See, I have like... I'm already beating myself up for eating the pizza.
Oh, no. I'll do that later. And there'll be purging and shaming. No, there won't be. But here... Well, there will be. But the thing about it is this. I have, when it comes to eating badly, an on-off switch. In other words, I mean, it's a very binary proposition to me. And I know that I sound like a girl when I obsess about my weight like this, but what are you going to do? The thing is, though, when I... Like, if I'm going to have a piece of pizza, I will not do that thing of like, well, just give me half a piece. It's like, you know, if you're going to eat badly, just eat it. Will you do this? Sometimes I'll do this, where I order, like, I'll get a pizza, or like, if I'm alone, I'll get a small pizza or something. And I'll eat all but two pieces or something. There'll be a couple pieces left over. And my whole thing is... I better eat them now so they're not around tomorrow. Like, what the hell difference does it make, really, when you think about it? Eat them now, eat them tomorrow. But my thing is, I better eat them. Really, if I was that weight conscious, I would just throw them away, give them to somebody else. Eat these so that I don't. But I want to be like, I better eat it all tonight so that it's not around to tempt me tomorrow. When, of course, the whole thing's a goddamn wash. What the hell? I never meet anybody that likes Rocco's Pizza, though. That's the thing. Especially, I mean, they're so legendary. They've been around forever. They're right there at Kitty Corner, as they used to say, from Powell's. I never know anybody that actually eats Rocco's Pizza, so it's fantastic that...
Isn't that where the kids pile up their bikes on top of each other?
Yes. Yes, it is, actually. It's right around there. And it's that place is great. And when I didn't live here, when I would come to Portland, that's where I would eat. So, anyway, fantastic. Rick, this, we'll get this call, then I got to read this email, and then we'll get the Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, in just a moment. Scott Daly coming up later on from FilmFeverRadio.com. Also, Dave, the Mary Kay guy, will be here to give Scotty J a facial scrub. Rick, this email says, this is about the pity hug. We were talking to Jim Roop about this. It's from Where's Maya? This is from Aaron.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Pity hug, I know thee well. Alas, Rick, I am well versed in the pity hug, and even the more painful, pitiful, oh, hey, the most painful pity hug being from former 1080 girl Grace at the party that's not to be mentioned. I remember, and I was there and I saw it. I witnessed that. And this is, you know, if you, some of you may remember back a couple iterations ago, we had 1080 girls and then they became 910 girls and then we just sort of disbanded it. But there was great. It was that whole family of hot chicks. There was Glory and Grace and Hannah and somebody else. And they were all like these hot, large-breasted sisters. There's four of them, and Grace was the sort of goth-looking one, and she had a serial killer tattoo, which is fantastic. Of what's his name, Albert Fish, and
took home homeless animals.
Yes, that is the other thing about it. She was a lover of animals.
She was.
And
Humane Society.
Exactly. So she's very cool. And so none of this is a reflection on her. Really, sadly, it's all a reflection on Aaron. She's really hot, and I say that from afar in a chaste, pure sort of way, but really mind-bogglingly hot and just exactly the type of chick that Aaron and I, it would just be all agog for. So there we are at that listener party in La Center that we will never name, and. Anyway, so Aaron had sort of seen her and like seen pictures of her, and he's like, "Oh, that Grace." So. Anyway, I'll read this email. It says, "Damn, that pity hug happened almost 3 years ago, and I still obsess over the crashing and burning. Even with the greatest of handoffs from you, Rick Emerson," and this is exactly what it is. So here's me. We're at the party, and, like, there's Aaron, who really, when you think about it, because she's, you know, Grace is kind of a geek, and so he's in the wheelhouse, as they say, because he's there dressed as What's-It from Angel, that green-skinned demon from the series Angel, and I forget the guy's name. But Aaron is there. He's got the full geek costume. Plus, he's Aaron. He's funny. He's charming. He's everything. And so, this is exactly what happens. I take Aaron, and he's like, "Oh, there's a Grace over there." And I'm like, "Well, I'll just go say hello." And he's like, "I can't say hello. I'm just going to stand here and stare." And I'm like, "Don't just stand here. Be a man. Come on, go say hello to her." And he's like, "No, I can't. I'm just going to go throw dice." I'm like, no, come here. And so I take Aaron, and I walk over, and I, "Hey, Grace, I know you're a big fan. This is Aaron, geek in the city." And then, you know, and so Aaron's like, "Hey," and I'm acting this out now. He's actually transcribed it all. So I'm like, "Hey, Grace, I know you're a big fan of his. Meet Aaron." And then you do that thing of just shoving the guy towards the girl, and then you step back, and you wait for the magic to happen.
Yeah.
Here's the magic that happened. Aaron. "So, Grace, I like your tattoos." And then Grace just goes, "Hey, that's good. Hey, is that the low? Hey, low!" And then she just...
Oh.
And then she just walks off to go find the low. The best part, though, and now that I was going to say, I hope Aaron doesn't mind being embarrassed, but we're so deep in this.
Oh, now we feel happily engaged and stuff.
It's true. But the very best, and by best I mean horrifying part of this crashing and burning that happened between Grace and Aaron is that as Grace is sort of walking away, Aaron, like many guys, he acts things out with sound effects, you know, like I do. And as Grace is walking away, Aaron kind of turns to Joni and does the whole crash and burn sound effect. So he turns to Joni and he's like, but she was only like a foot away. And so she actually stopped and turned around. She's like, "What?" And he's like, "Nothing." You know, so to actually have her hear him making the crash and burn sound after she's... You want to talk about sealing the deal in reverse. That just seals that there will never be a deal. Good times. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this call inside this, the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, the man accused of hiring a former employee to kill his wife, who in turn killed her attacker, pled not guilty today to charges of criminal conspiracy to commit murder and attempted murder. Michael Kuhnhausen, who's 58, remains in custody, ordered to appear again November 3rd. We can decide to change his plea or up for trial. This fellow who's a porn store janitor is accused of hiring Edward Happy to kill his wife, from whom he was getting a divorce. So the woman came home from her job. She's an emergency room nurse. To find Happy inside, wearing yellow rubber gloves and holding a claw hammer, hit her several times on the head, but it didn't hurt. She got away from him, dropped it. He dropped it, and then she fell on the floor with him and strangled him to death with her bare hands.
Here's the most unnerving part of that is, first of all, hammer's bad. Claw hammer is bad.
Yeah.
The worst part of that, though, is came home and found the man inside wearing yellow rubber gloves.
Well, she outweighed this fellow by 80 pounds.
It is Portland.
Yep, it is. And according to an affidavit, she told detectives she believed her husband had sent Happy there to kill her.
Well, yes. Yes, that does seem like the likely scenario here. But here's the thing about the yellow rubber gloves. You know, you've heard tie a yellow ribbon around the old... When you're putting yellow rubber gloves on your hand and waiting for someone at home, I could... Really, the number of scenarios there that are unpleasant as opposed to pleasant...
Her husband hired him as a porn store janitor.
I just love the phrase porn store. Did they break up?
Who?
Porn store janitor?
Yeah.
Ah, that's too bad. Well, anyway, so yeah, he was... Well, so he already had...
I thought you were talking about the wife and husband. I'm like,
no, they broke up a long time. So he already had lots of gloves around. Being killed by a porn star janitor is a bad way to go. Thankfully, she killed him. So she strangled him with her bare hands.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. If this story turns out to really be true, and I'm not saying it's not, but I mean, it did seem to change a couple times. If it does turn out that this is actually what happened, we should have a little parade for her.
We should have a little script written about this.
That's exactly. We can do this. We should. That's a great idea. We should act out some of our favorite news stories in little miniature one-act plays.
Oh, that'd be a great Christmas gift for the listeners.
It really would. I've been thinking, actually, and we'll take this call from Mike here. I've been thinking about what to do this Christmas, and I know that we're getting ahead of ourselves because it's only September, but it is the first day of fall today. Today is summer is over, baby.
Thank goodness.
First, stupid summer. Stupid sun.
I prefer
warm.
Cloudy and breezy.
I actually do, too. I think we actually talked about this at one point in the show.
How do you like your weather?
Can we get a weather sampler? We had a poll here where everybody's favorite summer, everybody's favorite season was fall on this show. When I was a kid, my favorite season was winter. But it didn't really snow here much, so there's really no point. I'm a big fan of fall, though.
The falling of the leaves?
Yes.
The cutting of the jack-o'-lanterns?
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, so we're getting ahead of ourselves, but it is fall. But we got to think about what to do for Christmas, because we will, I don't know, maybe... On Christmas Day or something, we'll play Behind the Christmas, because that's just become a tradition. But we got to augment that. We got to do something else this year. Right? We play Behind the Christmas a whole bunch.
Maybe we can help children.
We got... No, that's stupid.
That's old.
No, that's... Everybody's done that. We got to do something else.
They're
so
on their own.
I don't know what it's going to be. Look, you can toughen up, and you can walk in on your own 2 feet. We got to figure out something to do. And don't call about it now. Just be thinking. Back burner that, as they say. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Bring it.
Hey, Rick, I was calling about the sampler thing. I thought maybe you were misinterpreting the sampler part. I thought it referred to the original boxes, you know, and you put that needlework pattern on them. The small needlework things are called samplers.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I believe technically that would be true, yes.
So that's why it's called a Whitman sampler?
I think so, and they still have, you know, like the needlepoint pattern on the box, if you look at it.
Interesting. So it's not a sampler in the sense of an overview of their various products, but a sense of it refers to the design and packaging of the actual box.
Yeah, maybe they hired some Amish people or something to make the boxes. So, yeah, they were all like needlework.
No, I think you were correct there, and then you veered into being making stuff up guy. But now you're back on the road of correctness.
We do it all the time, though.
It's true. Dan... congratulations. Well, that's, you know, as dumb as this sounds, not unlike all the other things in this program, you, sir, have answered something that has bothered me for a long time. Seriously, ever since I learned how to read, that Whitman sampler thing has bugged me because I wondered what it was a sampling of, but it actually refers to the packaging and design. Well done, sir. You have actually made me a happier person.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Mike, you enjoy your weekend.
You too.
God bless you. All right, here's Tim Riley.
The more you know.
It's true. It's knowing is half the battle.
Well, people got behind, pushed, and even offered an impromptu driving lesson to help a boy struggling to maneuver a car without realizing the 14-year-old was stealing it. The boy stopped midway to ask for help, and at least 15 people responded. Officers eventually caught up with the lad after getting 911 calls about an erratic driver. Meanwhile, Starbucks is going up on their coffee prices.
Well, they got to raise money to buy coffee, people, so they can get rid of everything I like.
In fact, every handcrafted beverage...
Handcrafted.
It's like a sampler.
Yeah, that, yes. I was just going to say, it's made by the Amish. Yeah.
Well, it's going up an average of 5 cents. This after the Seattle coffee giant will raise prices in all its company-operated U.S. and Canadian stores. The price hikes amount to nearly a 2% increase. The 5% increase on drinks is the second price increase in 2 years.
Let me guess. It's because of oil.
Rising energy and fuel costs.
Energy and fuel costs. That makes sense.
But they will invest more in benefits.
Of course. I hesitate to even talk about this because it's going to sound like we're doing nothing. It's going to sound like we're idiot hippies just reaming on Starbucks.
So be it.
As noted, relatively speaking, I don't have a problem with Starbucks. They do a whole, whatever. I don't like their coffee, so I don't go there. It is the free market system at work. As we've noted, the great thing about Starbucks, though, it's in a way it's good that they don't sell their pastries separately elsewhere, because then I would buy them constantly and I would become enormous, because they sell that coffee cake that's like 680 calories, which is really good. So in a way, it's good that I can't get like a Starbucks pastry at like another store. The thing about Starbucks that bugs me, though, is just that there's no logic to their pricing system. That's the thing that doesn't make any sense. I think we've talked about this before, but the thing that has never been explained to me is why an iced coffee is more than a regular coffee. If anything, an iced coffee ought to be cheaper because it's just water. Like, half of it is just water.
It's the same everywhere, though. At the independent ones, for some reason, things that are cold cost more than things that are hot.
It's a scam. It's because people are stupid. Really, you could buy a hot coffee, pour half of it out, and stick some ice in there. Uh-huh. There you go. So it's never really been explained to me by the Starbuckians themselves.
But they're not the only ones that do it.
No, it's true. To be fair, apparently it is all the coffee places. But this thing about Starbucks is exactly what I always tell people. Like, every time you get these nitwits that get up in arms about how they don't want some store to come into their community, and you know that Portland is lousy with these. The people who are picketing because they don't want like a QFC or something. It's a
to St. John's, there's one in every street corner.
But it's like, my whole thing, they were trying to do this, where was I recently? Or Walmart. Scotty's pointing at Walmart's the one where they always do this. Where it's a bunch of people who are marching somewhere because they don't want what's in store to be, the Walmart to replace it. It's like, if you don't like the store, just don't shop there. If it opens, the only reason that these stores continue to exist when they go into a community is because people continue to shop there. If you don't want, if you don't want a Walmart or whatever, if you don't want a Winco in your neighborhood, when it opens, just don't goddamn go there.
Don't buy the polyester clothing.
That's what I'm saying. All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
I think we settled that.
Thanks, sons of bitches.
I forget what's next. Oh, weren't we going to do a watch? I thought, just a minute here.
Really, using what we were going to theoretically do on the show as a guideline is just a road to nowhere. We did,
I had a plan in order here.
Did you plan your work and then fail to work your plan?
I did.
Here's the thing. I guess I could actually, I could have learned this a year ago and saved myself a lot of push-ups. I guess I could actually just refer to the list of things I said I was going to do. That's really the irony of this list, is that I create this list at about 10:45 and then I never look at it again. That might explain why I have 63 push-ups that I owe, because I create the list and then I never, ever, ever look at it. Here's what we were going to do. Well, the problem is I don't have any of the watches written down. Didn't we?
I guess we did them all.
We've done Democracy on the March.
Yes.
We've done the Bush Watch.
Uh-huh.
Hick Watch.
We've done the Hick Watch.
We've done everything. So I run out of watches, and therefore you have no push-ups today.
But have I done everything else?
I'm afraid so. So we have an hour and 10 minutes left, and we're already caught up, so I don't know what to do next.
Do you have some backup discs? Can we just go home?
Does anybody have recipes they'd like to share?
Hmm.
You can play some music. You can play your Weird Al song.
No, I really have got...
How about a woman's talk show?
What woman?
Oh, none in particular that I can think of.
Really?
There really aren't any qualified ones out there, are there?
No. No, there aren't.
Will Katie Holmes play Posh Spice?
No, she won't.
Scientology works in mysterious ways. There's a report today that Katie Holmes may be playing David Beckham's wife in an upcoming motion picture about the soccer player's life. Ironically, Katie and Victoria Beckham have become great friends since the Beckhams have joined the church.
What church?
Scientology.
They haven't become Scientologists. Is that
according to the story?
Yeah, they've been
Posh Spice is a Scientologist?
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. Well, whatever. I don't care. All right, so Katie Holmes is what? She's going to play Posh Spice?
It's actually all Tom Cruise's fault that he will be subjected to a movie about the life of a British football /
Thanks, Tom.
Soccer player.
Appreciate
and
it.
His absurdly thin wife. Tom was the one who suggested the story of the soccer player's rise to fame to Paramount before he was canned.
Fantastic. Scotty is pointing out that yesterday... We failed. We teased a Whitney watch, and we failed to get to it.
It's in my bag.
I think also... Well, we'll do it next hour. All right, let's do one more. Do you have one more here? We'll do one more.
Well, I'll
play the Weird Al song. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got the guys coming in to Scotty a facial scrubbing next hour. Scott Daly will be here, and so forth. We'll do one more. We'll take these calls, and we'll break.
As if talking on the cell phone isn't destructive enough, police in Aiken, South Carolina have busted a man that you might call DWP, driving with porn. Officials say Tracy Pope had an X-rated DVD playing and an in-car stereo video system. The charges he faces include felony disseminating or promoting obscenity.
Felony disseminating. That sounds dirty.
As if somebody could pronounce a word as big as that in South Carolina. That's because the authorities say a kid could have looked into the car and spotted the porno on the video screen.
Won't somebody please think of the children? Blah, blah, blah.
Police say they also see several X-rated DVDs from the vehicle, including the one he was playing.
Who needs to own several X-rated DVDs? Ah, never mind.
South Carolina.
Scotty J.
Hey, I have breaking news.
Yes?
Lindsay Lohan just got dumped.
By?
By that Harry Morton guy that she's supposedly engaged to.
Now, wait a minute. That's another thing we have to get to today. This gossip pile. We got this pile of gossip news to get to. Because there was something... We had a story that she was trying to steal Paris Hilton's boyfriend. Or Paris Hilton's ex-boyfriend.
Paris Hilton was hitting on... Lindsay was out of town and Paris Hilton was hitting on her boyfriend.
Oh, wait, yeah, here we go. Let me read this. This is from whatever. I think it's from Perez Hilton. Is that his real name, Perez Hilton?
No, his name's Mario. Something.
Where does Perez Hilton come from? Do we know the origin of that name?
Well, he used to run Page 666.
Right.
Until the New York Post sued him. I don't know, because he's of Mexican descent. And it sounds like Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton isn't by the way, we should clarify something. When Tim was saying there are no qualified female talk shows out there, and I nodded my assent.
Stephanie Miller?
No.
That we don't have on.
I was just going to say, there are. It's just we've already got them all on the air. Really, they're all here. Right. So it's really
We don't want Whoopi.
That's what I'm saying.
Couldn't we ever just perhaps play a tape that we've received and not identify who it is?
No,
that would
we
be...
could never do that.
Especially because I think I lost it because the person who dropped it off, as we've noted, if you'd ever like to get a job here, be sure to drop off an air check that doesn't have your name or any identifying characteristics on it.
2 minutes before 5 on a Friday afternoon.
On a piece of construction
paper
covered in stickers.
That's when we want to listen.
Yeah, please. And try to make it look like it's been dropped off by a slightly retarded third grader. Let's see. So, yeah, there are good female hosts. Unfortunately, they're all here, and there's no one left. Paris Hilton just isn't willing to let bygones be bygones when it comes to her nemesis, Lindsay Lohan. What is the deal between the two of them? Is there some... I mean, what is the problem? There's like a Batman-Joker thing.
Yeah, it's like back and forth.
But who did... Is that where this all originated?
But then they're supposedly friends, because I was just reading another blog today, I Have No Life, and they were all over at Paris Hilton's house last night, and Lindsay Lohan was there, and they were laughing and joking about the fire crotch thing and...
About the fire crotch.
Yeah.
Well, who hasn't laughed about that?
It's true.
Last week, Hilton showed that she intends to keep their feud going when she made the moves on Lohan's current, although maybe not, Harry Morton. According to Star Magazine, Paris and Harry were both at Hollywood hotspot Hyde last week. Since Lindsay was conveniently in New York for Fashion Week, Paris took advantage of her chance to woo Harry.
This story is confusing.
It really is. So Paris is trying to steal
Harry,
Lindsay's boyfriend, and it looks like it might have worked.
Magazine's reporting that they broke up, according to sources close to the couple. Harry broke it off with her yesterday after having dinner at the Chateau Marmont.
Why would you ever leave Lindsay? Look, and Lindsay Lohan's a skank. There's no getting around that. Why would you ever leave anybody for Paris Hilton? I mean, I can't. I don't.
Well, a whole young Hollywood, because Mary-Kate Olsen was dating that guy, that Stavros Nachos guy.
Yes.
So she was dating him, then Paris dated him, then Lindsay dated him, and now I think he's back to, like, sleeping with Paris again or something. It's so dirty.
All
so
confusing.
And weird.
I will only say there's one final Paris Hilton note, that on Wednesday, the girl who actually, I mean, according to the rumor mill, the girl who actually sings all the vocals on Paris Hilton's CD was at the Aladdin on Wednesday. What's her name? Because Chris Needham was going to see her. She sings for Tiny Toy Guns or whatever that group is.
Billy Joel's daughter is going to be singing at the Aladdin. I saw it in an ad in the paper.
Book your tickets now. Buy a spot today. All right, let's see. Well, let's get a couple of these. You know, and here's the thing. Nobody has ever given us, we've been asking repeatedly for somebody to send us audio from that Whoopi Goldberg show. Because I want to know what it is. Like, I want to know what that show sounds like. I mean, so somebody out there, I mean, I guess maybe it's really telling, maybe it tells us all we need to know that nobody even can find audio from the Whoopi Goldberg show, which, I mean, I didn't even think it had launched yet, but apparently it's been out there for months. So, let's get a couple of these. Anton, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
I'm talking about pity hugs. Yeah. And sometimes I am jealous of my brother for the pity hugs. My brother is retarded. He has Down syndrome.
Oh, God.
And no matter where he goes, he's like, if he sees a big-breasted, beautiful woman, he's like, hey, how's it going? Can I have a hug? And he nuzzles his head right in there. He would not believe it, but all the women just love it, like, give them a hug. It's incredible.
See.
Hello?
Hello. Here's the thing about this. I'm sorry. Scotty is encouraging me to, with this. Thank you. Here's the problem, is that you started off this by saying, sometimes I'm really jealous of my brother because he's retarded.
Yes.
Let me tell you about a little thing called karma and a little thing called irony and another little thing called fate. Here's what's going to happen. About 4 days from now, you're going to be walking down the street. A car is going to jump the curb. You're going to jump out of the way, and in the meantime, you're going to slip on a skateboard. You are going to fall. Your head is going to hit a mailbox, and you are going to walk with a limp, a stutter. You're going to spit randomly. You're going to take all the rest of your lunch through a straw.
And I'm going to get lots of pity hugs.
Well, that's the thing, though, but you will have nuzzling of bosoms to make up for it. So, you know, the thing about it is that being one of God's special children, the thing about it is it just... It's like being British. It removes all of your notions of personal space and boundaries. Because, you know, a lot of us, especially the people in this room, we have very distinct ideas about physical contact and hugging and touching. And, you know, and you don't stand uncomfortably close to people. If you are a man of or a woman of limited
ability.
Mental acuity.
Sure.
You don't have any of those concepts. And it's a whole lot of, can I stand uncomfortably close to you and drool on your breasts? I mean, that's really what it is. So, in a way, I mean, you know, in a way, it's interesting because not to make a light of your brother's situation, but in a way...
I do. It's all right.
Well, I'm just saying, in a way, you know, your brother, and, you know, he's Down syndrome, if you're retarded, if you've got some mental impairment, the really terrible and funny thing about that is a guy who is of adult age and retarded mentally... acts just like we all do on the inside. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you see a guy like that, when you see a mentally impaired guy, that's how we would all behave if we didn't have societal norms implanted into us. That really is what... Just no sense of shame, and so he can be that way on the outside.
It's absolutely true. I mean, he is Mr. Smooth. If he was not Down syndrome, man, he would be the biggest ladies' man. He's always just like, hey... How's it going? My name is, and then he gives his name, and he's like just schmoozing with the people. It's incredible.
I believe that may be the phrase of the day, by the way, which is, if he was not a Down syndrome man, he would be a real smooth operator. Anton, thank you, sir.
Hey, have you seen The Ringer?
The Ringer? Oh, with, Johnny Knoxville. No, I have not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just watched it last night, and I laughed my head off because it is... Because
it's what he's like, he's a normal guy who enters the Special Olympics or something?
Yeah. And he gets schooled so many times by the Special Olympics people, and it is so true because...
Well, you know, the crazy have strength.
Well, it's not just the crazy have strength, but, yeah. You know, they know what's going on. They may be mentally challenged,
yeah.
but they're definitely street smart, and they totally call them out and everything, and they work their situation so much, they know what they're doing.
Street smart. I just picture a whole gang of retarded kids with matching colors roaming the street.
Brass knuckles.
Yes, seriously, in chains, assaulting bystanders, Clockwork Orange style.
Yeah.
All right, we should end this call now before I start getting letters. Thank you, Anton.
All right.
I'll take a break here. We'll come back. There you go. That's Anton. It's 503-733-2970. Great call. All right. Hi there. It's the Rick Emerson Show coming up in this hour. Scotty J gets a facial scrubbing. Scott Daly will be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. And Weird Al, don't go anywhere. Just make it up.